Love is not supposed to be a fleeting thing like fame, of power, of money, or even relationships. Love is supposed to be permanent. Joyful of celebrating, because love is not supposed to be transactional. And it is a known fact that if we do not love ourselves, whatever outside love that is poured on us, it will not work. It will only flow like the air around us. And if love is not supposed to be transactional, it's supposed to be permanent and deep, then we need to search ourselves. What kind of love are we giving to ourselves? What kind of love are we operating in? Because it's so easy to use the word love. I love you. Oh, you are the love of my heart. The sugar of my tea. The eyebrow of my eyes. I love you more than the monkey loves banana. It's all good and said. But what does it really mean? Because we know you cannot give what you don't have. None of us can give what we do not have. And we need to have that love for ourselves. Because why? Why is it that they say love is everything? Love conquers hatred. Love conquers loneliness. Love, you name it. Love is not puff puff. Because the only friend you have, that any of us have, and the best friend we have, and the one that brings solution to everything is love. And God is that love. It surpasses anything. For some, it has become a cliche, especially if they are practicing the spirit on the spiritual path. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How many times do we practice that? And we saw that during this election that we have. We forget we're breathing the same air. I don't care, you are not my neighbor. You voted this way. Mm-mm. Families can't even stand each other. So if that's the case, how is that love true? I always wonder when we take vows for those who are married. I love you and all of that. To me, that love is never genuine. It's transactional. As long as you like what I like, we enjoy what we like, and we're able to support, then we love. And then if there's any crooked thing happens, any challenges, if the person with so much love doesn't go according to our way, well, then the fight starts. The discord, the difficulty starts. It gets to a point we want to be separated and divorced. I've always wondered, those who say they love so much, and when things don't go their way, they want to actually kill each other. Through being spiteful and aggressive or whatever it may be. And in the spiritual way, the love we say we have is worse than hatred. Because if we can love that way, then nobody needs to hate, because even hating somebody is better than the love we say we give to each other. Because it's so transactional. It's so disposable. It's based on individual dogma, society dogma, religious dogma, organization, you name it. And the Bible says, and this is the Christian Bible I'm quoting now, that love is a way of relating to others. And that it is a commandment from God to love one another. I didn't say that. That's the AI saying that. But in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, love is patient, kind, and selfless. And it does not demand its own way. Huh? Did I just hear that right? It does not demand its own way. If it does not, then why do we have the dogma? Because definitely that's our own way. Is selfless? How selfless did we see ourselves during this election? You don't do what I want. You don't vote for my guy. Forget it. Wow, that is truly selfless, isn't it? Love is patient. What patience do we have? We don't even have patience with the weather, much more with each other. And we're not even going to go into politics because there's no patience there. And love is kind. What kindness have we shown to each other? When people got the results, some were happy, and they were happy that they didn't lose. And they're happy that the other person lost. And the one who did not get the result they want. Some were so sad, they couldn't even eat. They couldn't even sleep. So what kind of kindness are we showing to ourselves? If we allow the atmosphere to take us out of our own realm of that deep love, what kindness are we showing to us? I'm not even talking to each other now. When something happens that you do not want, and it takes you out of your own realm, then are you showing kindness to yourself? Jesus said, love each other just as I have loved you. John 13:34. I'm sure Jesus wasn't talking about transactional love, because what did he get from his disciples or apostles? It's not like they were paying his rent or mortgage. But he loved them and he taught them what he knew. Even when some of them think he doesn't know what he's doing. That same John, but this one, 1 John says, 1 John 4:7 to 8, love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Apparently, none of us. I can't speak for other countries because I'm still in this country. Apparently, none of us knows God. Otherwise, we won't have all this bitterness and all this disappointment we're going through. Oh, this just tickles my fancy. Matthew 5, 44 to 45. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Because of dogma, we've created enmity within us and with each other. So if we're our own enemies, didn't the Bible just say we should love ourselves? And apparently we're not. And those who we think are persecuting us because they chose to go another route. And in book of Colossians 3, 12 to 14, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. I hope we practice that. I hope we forgive ourselves first for taking ourselves out of the realm of love and taking it into the realm of dogma. True love, this is 1 Corinthians 13:6, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. What is the truth of our life? We're not living in vacuum. There are other species that live in the world with us. in our own family and outside and all of that. And yet, we persecute ourselves easily. And they say, true love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So when are we going to quit persecuting ourselves? Each of you persecute yourself. Because you have your own dogma. This is what I want my life to be. This is what I want my, you know. And yet, things happen in life, you know, that makes us very unhappy or sad and all of that. So when are we going to get ourselves out of that circle of that sadness and rejoices with the truth that we are a breathing light of God? As long as you have breath, God is fully present in you, because you cannot make your own breath. Even for those who have to breathe through some canisters and machines. True love is a genuine desire for the well-being of another. It is holy, sacrificial, and others. That is, we're willing to sacrifice. Love is willing to sacrifice itself so that we can be happy and joyful. Will we allow that love to do that? No, we won't, because when we feel there is no love in us, so how can the love sacrifice itself? So instead of thinking about how much difficulty and misunderstanding there is in the world, and every day those of us on the religious path, we'd say that. We need to stop. And I mean the capital stop. Bigger than the stop sign we see. It means stop. Stop it. Stop thinking of how much difficulty and misunderstanding. Stop thinking of, oh, my health, this, this, this. No, stop that. And then shift to that God, who is spirit, is infinite intelligence. He knows what is going for, what is good for each of us. He knows what is coming way ahead before we can even dream of it. And if God is that infinite intelligence and is constantly and persistently expressing in us and through every circumstance and situation in our lives, God is expressing that, I'm there with you. You might think you're alone, you are not. There is no reason for you to carry this load alone. This separation, this thing is not going the way I want it. I'm so tired of this country. We've heard people say that. I'm so tired of my family because they won't accept me. I'm so tired of my work. I'm even tired of the weather. What the heck? We hear some of us say that. I want sunshine, but it's always raining. It's always windy. Stop. Because if we stop and quit our dogma, we might actually feel the presence of God, that God is there with us. No harm can come to us. Everything will be resolved according to God's will. I didn't say according to our will, according to God's will. And we will all be better off. Because God is expressing in every circumstance and situation in our life. And we say, including this national one that we've just experienced, yesterday and today. And then we can affirm, I know. You see, when you claim that word, I know, that means you are not, it's not something you read from the book or from watching TV or whatever it is. Something within you click, understands that there is that presence within you. I know, regardless how things appear, that all is well. Regardless of who's going to govern this country or what's going on around you, regardless of the sickness or pain or whatever we feel, whatever it is we have been told, regardless of nightmares we have, no matter what, all is well because God is in every circumstance and situation of our lives. If we can live like that, hallelujah, even the angels will be singing with us. And we will not choose love over that. Why? Because facts don't change people. We all have facts of our life. Oh, okay, this is not working. This is a fact. It's a fact. I'm this. It's a fact. I need it, you know. But relationships do. Facts don't change people. Relationships do. So what kind of relationship do we have with ourselves? If we don't have relationship with ourselves, the facts will rule us. The doctor says, okay, well, my employer says, in my state, we're blue state, we're red state, we're, you know, almighty state, whatever it is, we're the dogma we've chosen. And we must know one thing. Our past doesn't have to be our prison. And all of us, including this one talking, we've made our past our prison, isn't it? Well, this didn't work well for me. This didn't work well for me. We forget that is the past. Can you imagine if God allows us to live in the past? I think all of us will still be babies. I'm sure there are certain things we love in the past and we want to for it to replicate itself. No, life moves on. Life is dynamic. I don't think I want to be in the past where somebody else is wiping my butt because I'm a little boy putting diapers on. We must make sure our past doesn't have to be our prison. Because whatever mistakes we have made because of choosing our dogma, they are there to help us grow and learn. And that's why we should always live in the present. And I thank God for that owl or whatever that is. Ooh, 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 ooh. Those of you online may not hear that. He's celebrating God right there. That's his dream. It's nighttime. He's, you know, he's going to do what he needs to do. He's not worried about the darkness of the night, what might happen. He's actually very happy about that. Now, I'm going to share with us tonight a story about the McDonald's. Not the McDonald's arch and the French fries guy. No. And this is a real life story. And we will discover what kind of love do people give. But until they allow God's wisdom to permeate, they think they are loving. But we find out how love is a shorthand of the stick until they know the truth. See? The owl is still doing it. Ooh, 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 ooh. So bear with me, all of you, because this is a long story, but listen to every, and some part of it I will emphasize. And it's not about putting anyone down. It's about using this story to emphasize. Because it's so easy for those who say they're on the spiritual or religious path to think they are better. They have the understanding of God. We love to quote scriptures and affirmations and all of that. After their son came out, this conservative Christian couple went into a closet of their own. As soon as Greg McDonald Jr. saw his parents, he knew he was in trouble. His father stood waiting for him with his arms folded and his brow furrowed. Beside him was Greg's mother, her eyes red and puffy. We all have been there when our elder stands and you know, oh, what have I done? I'm in to-do-to. Quick, pretend you are interested in me, Greg Jr. told his friend Betsy as he steered the speedboat toward the dock at his parents' riverfront home outside Grand Rapids, Michigan. You know, we all do everything by giving people money or all these access things, then that shows true love. Yeah, if you are fond of them, you can care, but now we will find out what true love is. Greg Jr. had just taken a group of friends out for a rollicking boat ride. It was late in the summer of 2001, and he was about to head off to his first year of college. In just a few weeks, the 17-year-old thought he would be free. Free from what? We all can guess it. But while Greg Jr. was away, his father, a conservative Christian, had checked his computer search history. He had heard stories of young men being corrupted by the internet, and I discovered his son's secret visits to gay porn sites. As Greg Jr. stepped off the boat with his friends, his father looked sternly at the group. "You need to leave," he said to the other teens. Once they were alone, the father turned towards his son. "Are you?" he asked. "Yes, I am." Greg didn't even allow him to finish because he knew what he was asking. "Yes, I am." Do we know what part of our body system says "I am"? The base of the chakras. Because it's the foundation for all, where you claim your connection to the higher power and to everything within. I am. I am this soul that God has sent here. "Yes, I am," Greg said, cutting his father off as he walked past his parents toward their house. "You could be an axe murderer, and we would always love you." His father called out after him. "But we need to get you fixed." You may think you know what happened next. Greg Jr. prayed to God for deliverance. Pastors condemned him. Church members shunned him. Longtime friends disappeared. And he wrestled with shame, because he felt like he had failed God and disobeyed the Bible. Pastor condemning someone? I'm pastor supposed to really love like Jesus did? Church members shunned him. Aren't we supposed in our own community to love each other and support each other? Longtime friends who say they love him, they all disappear because of what? And poor kid thinks he failed God, not knowing that that's human dogma right there. But that's not what happened to Greg Jr. That's what happened to his parents, Greg Sr. and Lee McDonald. The pastors condemned them. Church members shunned them. Longtime friends disappeared. Their son's admission will send the McDonalds on a journey that forced them to make agonizing choices about their faith and family. They will be thrust into the middle of a hidden crisis afflicting the conservative Christian community. And how they responded to their son's admission would mushroom into a scandal, one that prompted two of the most prominent evangelical pastors in America to publicly question each other's faith. We will get to that. Didn't they say love is patient, kind, and all of that? And we might say this is conservative Christians, but you see it in everyday life. Even those who are not Christians. If somebody doesn't meet your standard, boom. What triggered all these events was one fateful decision. After their son came out, the McDonald's went into their own closet. If you are seeking a model of a contemporary conservative Christian couple, Greg and Lynn McDonald would seem right out of central casting. Warm and photogenic, they sprinkled their conversation with biblical quotations and self-deprecating humor. The McDonalds live in a gated community along the banks of the Chattahoochee River, some 25 miles outside Atlanta. Their neighborhood looks like a real estate brochure with rows of large uniform houses, spotless sidewalks, and American flags flying from front porches. Most of all, sounds like that description. The outside is pretty and nice and all inviting, but the inside is decaying. Because our dogma will not let us live. Because our fear, anxiety, whatever it is killing us. Though everybody sees us and the other side, like, oh, this is awesome. There's nothing awesome when we don't think ourselves as God's children, when we deprive ourselves of love. Their living room reflects their faith and love of family. A towering bookcase is lined with titles such as God, Sex, and Your Child, What is the Bible, Getting Through the Tough Stuff. 77 family photos adorn the wall. One of them is a portrait of their son, Greg Jr., around the time his parents confronted him about his secret. Lynn, the mother, who is 65, steps to the wall and adjusts one of the photo frames. I can't think clearly if things aren't straight, she says with a sheepish smile. I like things in order. Greg Sr. is a solidly built man with a firm handshake who talks and moves with an air of crisp authority. He was an entrepreneur and a food broker, a person who sells food products to buyers. Apparently, life was good for him. He retired at 47. I am a fixer, a problem solver, says Greg Sr., now 67. Whenever there was a problem in business, they said, send McDonald. For some people, the McDonald's story may seem baffling. Having a gay child is no longer considered a problem that needs fixing, depending on what part of the world you are in, what your family dynamics are. The Supreme Court established same-sex marriage as a fundamental right in its 2015 decision. LGBTQ plus people are out in the workplace, hold hands in IKEA commercials, and openly raise children. Most mainline Christian denominations affirm gay and lesbian people. But there are millions of conservative Christians in the US who still do not accept what some call the homosexual agenda. They say normalizing the LGBTQ plus relationship represents a threat to the American family and religious liberty, and their perspective is gaining political momentum. This backlash has led to a crisis in the conservative religious community. I'm going to move past some of the, I want to get back to that story. Greg Jr. says he didn't tell his parents about his sexuality earlier because he had heard stories of evangelical parents who refused to pay for their gay kids' college, or kick them out of the house. Once on the street, these forsaken youths are more likely to experience sexual assault, HIV infection, hate crimes, depression, and suicide, according to True Colors United, a nonprofit group formed to address youth homelessness in the US. And yeah, we will all say we love, and we allow that to happen in our country. Many LGBTQ plus youth tend to travel together, living in abandoned buildings and under freeway overpasses, and often engaging in sex work for survival. Virtually none of them go to the church for help. Why? You would think, where Jesus is supposed to be the commander in chief, that would be the first place they would go, isn't it? Or any place where they think, where they call God or think of God. Most you don't feel comfortable going to a church because they are either forced to engage in religious practices they don't agree with, or their sexual identity is not appropriately respected. Greg Sr. did not know any of those stories when he told his son that he had to be fixed. He made that declaration 23 years ago, but he still winces at the memory. He wishes he can take it back. Boy, how I wish I could reel those words back, he says, and I can't. We literally chase Greg Jr., their son, away. Once those words leave your lips, it's like eating shoe leather. It's hard to recover from that. Even though the parents didn't know what awaited them, their son though knew what awaited his parents before they did, when they enlisted the church to fix him. He will say something to them that will prove prophetic, which is part of what I wanted to highlight. There is no hate like Christian love. Let's think about that for a minute. There is no hate like Christian love. That's huge. So even when you say you hate somebody, it doesn't even match the ones who say they love you, the Christian. I wonder if Jesus came back. Jesus will pass out when he sees the way we treat each other. And lest we forget, America is supposed to be a Christian country, isn't it? That's still what they are still, you know, we're still spreading out. And yet we hate each other. We can't even stand each other because of some paper bylaws. Because we have to choose somebody. And God didn't want us to have leaders anyway in the first place. If we look at the Bible, but no, we want somebody to govern us. And because of that, we're hating each other and killing each other. There is no hate like Christian love. The McDonald's didn't think there was anything hateful about how they raised their son and his older sister, Connie. They wanted them to have the stability they never had as children. See, that's how things start. That's our dogma. Okay, I experienced this. I don't want my kids to experience that. It is a noble thing. But we need to get our facts right. We need to find the true solution. Until we allow spirit to lead us, facts doesn't cut it. Because they thought the way they raised Greg is so that he wouldn't have to go through what they went through. And probably it was even worse for Greg now. They wanted their children to have the stability they never had as children. They raised the two children in a conservative Christian cocoon, church every Sunday, midweek Bible study, Christian private schools, Christian contemporary music, tuned 24/7 on the car radio. Sound like some people I hang out with. They saw signs early on that their son might be gay. They said they were tipped off by his body language and what Greg Sr. described as his son's, I quote, tender-hearted personality. What is so wrong with being tender-hearted personality? They quietly took steps to address the issue. If a show came on TV and it was Will and Grace, or if there was touching between two men, this is Greg Sr. saying, I will grab the remote and turn to another show. When Greg Jr. was still a boy, the McDonald's shared their concerns with a Christian counselor. He will be fine, the counselor assured them. Peer pressure will sort him out, he said. Meanwhile, Greg Jr. was learning about hate at his Christian schools. He was bullied by classmates who hurled gay slurs at him. Teachers denounced homosexuality in classroom diatribes while looking directly at him. There were others who treated him with compassion, including art teachers who sensed his secret. He came out to several high school friends who made him feel accepted. Yet the parents even so, Greg Jr. learned to be quiet and blend in. That impulse was so ingrained that just before his parents confronted him after that speedboat ride, he still pretended to be straight by asking his friend Betsy to feign attraction to him. How many of us have learned to be quiet just to blend in? When our dogma is riding us like a horse or a donkey, we stay quiet. We even suppress love. It was about being perfect all the time, not doing anything to stand out as deviant or outside the norm. He will say later, you try not to be noticed. After their son came out to them, the McDonald's relied on the church to apply another form of peer pressure. They sent their son to youth counselors and pastors. They persuaded him to try Christian conversion therapy. We've all heard about that. A widely discredited practice. This is the mother now saying, we didn't realize the harm we were doing, Lynn says. When you find out your child is gay in that environment, it is overwhelming. I hate to say it, but I was also looking at myself. I was thinking, this is destructive. What is my life going to look like now? Now, I'm going to cut most of this short just to, because I see some of our members are dozing off. It's past their bedtime. Several months after their confrontation with their son, the McDonald's told their pastor and a select group of close friends. It took about 2 years for Greg Sr. to tell select business partners and coworkers. Some stopped talking to them. Others assured the McDonald's they would pray for their son's deliverance from homosexuality. One told Greg Sr., "You got to get a handle on your son." Still, Greg Jr. refused to be fixed. A Christian counselor once asked him, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" I felt I had to choose between loving God and loving my child. So by this time, Greg Jr. had moved away to college to attend. I'm sure he was happy and relieved. He and his parents barely spoke. He rebuffed their attempts to cite scripture. "Don't quote me scripture. Teacher, don't teach me nonsense." Their occasional visits were so strained that their son avoided being alone with them and surrounded himself with friends. What kind of love is that? And yet the parents thought they love their child and they allow this child to go through this because they have their own dogma. They wanted to protect their children, but they didn't know the truth. And we all do it to ourselves. Letting fear and other things to control us, that becomes our dogma. The tension filtered into the McDonald's marriage now. They blamed one another. "You should have taken him on more fishing trips," said the wife. "Whose idea was it to let him take those art classes?" said the father. "Well, you didn't play baseball with him enough." It's easy to point at this because everything here is talking about us. We blame ourselves for things that has nothing to, we don't, God said, did God tell you to blame yourself? No. Life happens. We will make mistakes so that we can learn. But we keep living in the past and make it our prison. How many of us can blame ourselves for the color of our hair or the color of our skin? Yeah, because these are things that God allowed us to be. And yet, some of us, we blame ourselves for all the kind of things that happens to us in our lives. If I ate right, maybe I wouldn't get this sick. Or if I did it, maybe I wouldn't do this. The McDonald's thought a gay child was a failure of parenting. That was the dominant teaching in their conservative Christian culture. One of the Christian leaders, psychologist, has ascribed homosexuality to such external factors as a domineering mother, that's what causes homosexuality, an emotionally abusive father, and being sexually molested as a child. Beliefs that have been debunked by science. And Greg Senior says, "We drank from the fire hose of all this preaching, think is a domineering this and that. If they published it, printed it, or did a video, we owned it, they would buy it." And here we go. The mother, Lynn, says her reaction to her son's disclosure was also shaped by another source, the Old Testament story. in which God demanded that Abraham sacrifice his son Isaac to prove his faith. And we all do that because we don't understand what love is. We take it on the surface, and we create a dogma because of that, and we punish us, and we go through hell that we shouldn't go through. Because to me, when I read that, that's what came to my mind. I felt I had to choose between loving God and loving my child, she says. Her words may seem melodramatic, but not if you know her background. She grew up in a family where relatives struggled with mental illness and alcoholism. She married Greg Sr. when they were right out of high school. Both now said they were too young and immature. It took 12 years of counseling and prayer to preserve their marriage. You see how we punish ourselves? It's not them being too young to get married. Is the atmosphere they are in. He believed what saved him through that is that he followed what the church says. Nothing harmful will happen to you if you just follow what we say, even though the teacher, the pastor, doesn't even know the truth of what Jesus is, even though we all claim to. It got so bad for Greg Sr., he decided to take his own life. Isn't our community supposed to allow us to live a full life? If we say we're following God, is it supposed to allow us to live a full life, have understanding? The fear about my reputation and my family's reputation, Greg Sr. says, he has to keep that image because he does. So the pressure threatened to overwhelm him. He was driving home mad in depression. He felt like a failure as a father. He spotted a bridge in front of him. As he drew closer, he accelerated. He aimed his car at the bridge concrete abutment. We all know what that is. The slapping of his tires on the highway grew louder as he sped toward the bridge. As I got closer, I just decided that's it, he says. But at the last second, he jerked the wheel and turned away from the bridge. He pulled off the highway and sat in his car, shaking. He then called his doctor to get a prescription for antidepressants. And yet, when people see him outside, they think he's all well and whole. It wasn't God that did that to him. It was fellow human beings who say they love him and all, now they've ostracized him and all of that because they think they understand God. We are the human beings doing that to ourselves. We are the McDonald's. And we are doing this to ourselves because of our own limited understanding. We say we love ourselves. Yeah, we don't act like it. Not long after, Lynn, the mother, was shaken by her own brush with mortality, one that led to a different result. She and Greg Sr. had remained closeted for more than a decade, struggling with the shame of their son being gay. After they learned their son, but in 2013, she faced another battle. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. Greg Sr., it was his own committing suicide that woke him up. Lynn, this was our own wake-up call. I had to put on my big girl pants and get through this, Lynn says. Why do people always say that I need to put on my big girl pants or my big boy pants? You're already wearing that if you're in this world anyway, because the world is always evolving. What followed was months of chemotherapy, multiple surgeries, and hair falling out in clumps. She spent much of her time in bed and barely had enough energy to move. Her husband stood by her, but another person soon appeared at her bedside. Guess who? Greg Jr., the one that their environment made them cast out. Their son was now 29 instead of 17 when they first, like, no, we're going to fix you. And living in Chicago after completing college and all of that. At Greg's Junior's invitation, his parents moved briefly into his Chicago condo. Imagine that. He washed his mother's laundry and tucked her in at night. He took her shopping and purchased stylish caps and scarves to cover her hair loss. Lynn began thinking of the years she had spent raising her son in a home where he was afraid to be himself. Can we ask ourselves tonight? Aren't we afraid to be ourselves? That's why we're living the way we are. The year she spent quoting scriptures at him that condemned his homosexuality. But here he was showing her compassion instead of anger. He was embodying Christ's example, loving those who had scorned him. Remember, we talked about that. Seeing that, she lost her zest to preach at him. Because when somebody, you like, what else? Better not be quoting the Bible, because the Bible itself will just diminish. I saw my life flash before my eyes. Lynn said, I didn't know how many days I was going to have on earth to even be with my son. It wasn't about changing him. It was about loving him and trying to make up for the years that I did lose with him when he was raised in our home. Around the same time, Greg Jr. reached out to his father in a different way. One night, he asked his father, "Want to get a drink?" He took his father to a bar in Chicago called The Closet. It was, of course, a gay bar. As Greg Sr. walked inside, he caught himself thinking, gosh, if my conservative friends could see me now. His son introduced him to the bartender. Her name was Karen. We all know about Karen during the COVID, didn't we? But his son described her as his mama bear. Mama bear. She was the one who steered him away from guys who meant trouble and helped him with his college homework by holding up flashcards at the bar. What the mother should have, you know. Karen was a lesbian, but that didn't matter to Greg Sr. She loved and protected his son. He felt his attitudes shift. The reality is that I didn't care anymore what my friends and co-workers thought, he says. I was far more concerned about my son and having a relationship with him. The whole thing is, when we stop caring about our dogma and really want to befriend that love that is in us, then we will free ourselves. Lynn's cancer went into remission, and a dozen years after that Riverside confrontation, the McDonald's relationship with their son also started to heal. Whatever you're going through, if you think God is not there for you, then you haven't really known God. Our past shouldn't be our prison. Let's not forget that. We learn from our mistakes, and it makes us to continue to grow. Even though they are healing now and going with their friend, but they still had to square this with their faith. They didn't know how to answer this question. Can you still love God, the Bible, and your gay son? The search for that answer will lead Greg Sr. to an unexpected friendship for Lynn. It will end one. They learned the Bible was not as black and white as they once thought. This is still a long story. Maybe we will continue at another time. But we understand what we say here. They chose love over dogma. It took them a while, it took them years. And that's why God said, Jesus said, love one another as I love you, because love conquers all. It's patient, it's kind. But if we don't let that love that God created us with to come up, we'll always be in the boat we're in now, that this country is in today. Some are happy, some are sad. Some won't even talk to each other because they let dogma took over. And we are doing that to ourselves. We let the dogma of fear, of I'm not good enough, whatever it is, to take over. It's about time we let love reign. That's the point of all of this. Because you would think if you're a Christian, and then somebody said there is no hate like a Christian love. That is huge, isn't it? Facts don't change people. Relationships do. Our past doesn't have to be our prison. The mistakes are what help you grow and learn. What relationship do we have with God? What relationship do we have with that love of God in us? That is the 100 billion trillion question. If you can get an answer to that, then we will be great. We will be free from all the things that are coming at us. May the Lord help us individually, as a nation, and as members of the same tribe of the universe. Amen.
Amen.